चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर Sadi Bhagavad Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One has to follow the rules and regulations unattached to them, because practice of sense gratification under regulation may also lead one to go astray, as much as there is always the chance of an accident, even on the royal roads. So, here, Pranjana is coming back to the mode of the dharmic way of behaving children, and he is getting attached to the dharmic, the spiritual intelligence, but as described in the purport of the second chapter, in the third chapter, verse 34, Prabhupada makes the point that yes, there is a chance given for a living entity to engage in sense gratification in a prescribed way, in a very regulated way, but one should still not be attached to that process of regulated sense enjoyment, because there is always a danger of getting too much attached to the process and forgetting the main aim of life. Now, the title of the chapter goes like Attack by Chandravega on the City of Puranjana. When the living entity is busy day and night enjoying, the force of time is acting upon him and he is not aware of that. So later in this chapter, Kalakanya, the time factor, will also be discussed. And that is the key reason why one may get attached to the process of regulated sense enjoyment and forget the passage of time. It's not that when we take rest, Maya also takes rest. When we take some time off from our regular activities and do some recreation, Maya will also stop pinching us and she also takes some break. No, she works 24/7, even when we are resting. And one way where you feel that you are progressing and you are in the right path, just like the happiness which Puranjana is experiencing by dharmically begetting children. You think I am doing all good, so I am following the Garbhodhan Sanskar and I am legitimately married to a wife and I have facility to enjoy, so I am going on doing it. But what's happening is forgetting the passage of time. And Bhagavatam describes that Ayu Harati Vayamsan Uddhyan Hastanta Yanisho Tasyatva Yakshanamita Tamasloka Vatya. Every rising and setting of the sun takes away the duration of the life of a person who does not discuss the topics of Lord Krishna. Uttama Shloka means that it describes the glorious activities of the Lord. So the living entity thinks that, okay, I'm doing everything as per the books. He said, okay, I need to have, we get children, then before that we need to perform Garbhodhan Sanskar. And here Prabhupada is explaining that Puranjana is not producing cats and dogs, children like cats and dogs. He is not producing unwanted population, which is the Varnashankara, which is born illegitimately. So the urge for the living entity to procreate is encouraged, but it is regulated. So not to produce unrestrictedly, have sex enjoyment, as Prabhupada described in previous purports. Even a lion restrains sex enjoyment. He is considered the king of the forest, but still he restricts. So even animals have restricted sense enjoyment, but if humans are not doing that, then they are lower than animals. This section of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is pretty straightforward and direct as is always. He just makes the points very direct. So now that I recognize that I shouldn't be producing children like cats and dogs, now what is the dharmic way of doing it? Then the Bhagavatam Samskar, the purificative process which the parents go through before begetting children, that's being prescribed. So when looking at this particular Bhagavatam Samskar in Prabhupada's teaching, one of the places he mentions that the samskar, the Bhagavatam Samskar, molds the mindset of a male before he injects the semen in the womb of the mother. The samskar is designed in such a way that it is molding the mindset of the parents. So that's what the regulative, what do you call the Vedic way of family planning. So that is considered as a purificatory process. Now a crucial step that is followed from an institution point of view in this point is that you get blessings of your spiritual master. If you are a Grihastha, you get the blessings of the spiritual master and then you perform the Bhagavatam Samskara, which is husband and wife chant minimum of 50 rounds before they begin the child. So that itself is a purificatory process. Srila Gurudev was sharing his experience when he was a brahmachari. In a Sunday feast, when he was casually talking to another godbrother of his, and this godbrother was sharing that me and my wife, we chanted 50 rounds because we wanted to have a child. But after chanting 50 rounds, we thought, okay, let's postpone it to next month. We don't want to come down to the bodily platform again, because they, by the chanting, they have experienced something higher. They shared with Sri Gurudev that they didn't want to come down to the bodily platform again. So they wanted to stay higher. They said, we'll do it next month. So the point is, the process works. So when I'm person is really full of desires and passion and want to engage in the act of sexual intercourse, the soul that he is going to attract may not be so pure. But here we see that the process as described by Srila Prabhupada, by following that, even though Prabhupada himself defined, when he defined Varnashankara in some places, he tells about those who are born without any reformatory process in the West. And in India also he describes that none of them follow the process, and in Kali Yuga everybody is a Shudra. But because they have taken diksha from a bona fide spiritual master. One may feel that, oh, I am not so qualified, my parents did not perform Bhagavatam Sanskar, they did not get me in a proper way, so my life is doomed. No. The bhakti yoga process is so powerful that you start where you are. You use whatever you have at your disposal and do what you can. There is a very nice verse which comes up later on when in this particular canto, and Narada Muni is talking to the Prachetas, where he tells that even though one did not take birth in a high family, he doesn't have to worry. In the purport, Prabhupada explains that the process of diksha gives you, puts you in the right track. So, in this verse 4:31:10, three types of births are described. So, the first birth is through the father and the mother, that's called the kshatra. A civilized human being has three kinds of births. The first birth is by a pure father and mother, and this birth is called birth by semen. The next birth takes place when one is initiated by the spiritual master, and that's called as Savitra. The third birth is called Yajnika, takes place when one is given the opportunity to worship Lord Vishnu. This is when one gets second initiation. So we see three births. One is Kshatra, second is when you get initiated, Savitra. And the third is Yajnika. So, in that purport, Prabhupada describes that in as per the Pancharatrika system, even though everyone is a Shudra, due to the absence of the Garbhodana Sanskara, so this is pretty much the default for most of the population, if a person has a little tendency to become Krishna conscious, he should be given a chance to elevate himself to the transcendental platform of devotional service. So, being born without Bhagavan Sanskar does not prevent us from taking the crucial step of accepting a spiritual master. So, for those who refute this point, saying that only if you are born in a Brahmin family, then you can become a Brahmana, the quote from the Haribhakti Vilas refutes that. As a bell metal, when mixed with mercury, is transformed into gold, a person, even though not golden pure, can be transformed into a Brahmana or Dvija simply by the initiation process. So this is a quote that can be discussed with when you're dealing with people from born from background, when they question us about you are just a bunch of sentimentalists just jumping and dancing and doing activities which seem to be very mundane, and then I also see you going to the altar and doing puja, so we don't accept this. But these people will accept Shastra. So according to their going by their own way, this is from the Haribhakti Vilas, this particular quote is there. So, if they are broad-minded, they will take it, but if they are not, if they want to just pick and choose those quotes which are favorable for them, they may not. But we are not there to convince others, but for us to be more confident in the process itself, like if I am not so pure enough, I did not go through the purification process, and what is the scope for me? This is the scope where the process of bhakti is powerful, that it transforms a person who is too much into the mode of passion and ignorance, and who did not go through the reformatory process. Still, such a person can elevate himself by taking the crucial step of accepting a spiritual master. And this Prahlad Maharaj also describes, that a brahmana may have all the good quality, but if he does not take up devotional service and the worship of Vishnu, all the good qualities are of no use. On the other hand, if a person, even though born in a family of dog eaters, take up the worship of Vishnu, he is to be considered elevated. Swapacham Varishtam. So that's why the human form of life is described as the best boat, which will take you out of the cycle of birth and death, provided you take shelter of the spiritual master, who is considered as the captain of the ship. And the teachings of Krishna are like the favorable wind. So Krishna is showing his mercy through his teachings, and by sending a representative in front of you, and if you accept him, accept the bona fide spiritual master, and he will be able to guide you. Now that I am assuming the scenario of a householder who was not born by the purification process. Now, what is he? Where does he start? Now, he can take up this process. He can take up diksha, and he can, if he has not given birth to children already, he can produce Krishna conscious children, which means you are giving an opportunity of it. You are creating a fertile environment where a Krishna conscious soul is going to take birth in your family, and you start performing the purificatory process. And you create progeny which is going to be of a higher consciousness by following the instructions of the spiritual master. Now that's where a crucial step of taking blessings from the spiritual master is there, because he is the one who is going to give you these warnings, saying that don't be attached too much to the rules and regulations, because you've got a way of enjoying sense gratification through an authorized way. The spiritual master will give those warning signals. Okay, don't get too attached to the process, because even in a royal road, there are chances of accidents. In spite of regulated sense enjoyment, there is every chance of falling down. Therefore, any attachment for regulated sense enjoyment must also be avoided by all means. That is what gradually Narada Muni is going to explain to Puranjana. Because here is a situation where, Narada Muni is going to explain to Prashna Parishad by quoting Puranjana. Puranjana has now given up the mode of illegal enjoyment, going out with enjoying with other women. That's what going to the forest and hunting was portrayed. Now he's come back, he's got a legitimate wife, and he's enjoying producing children, 1,100 sons, 100 daughters. Quite powerful. So he is capable of maintaining so many children and providing, so that's what. Still, you are thinking that as you are happily enjoying, you can press a pause button and the time will stop for you. Well, actually, my friend, that's not going to happen. As you are enjoying, you are the time is ticking. That time which has to be utilized in self-realization, you have gone off track. And that's where the spiritual master will either mildly or heavily instruct the disciple to get back to his senses and teach him about the dangers of related sense enjoyment also. Because Prabhupada makes a crucial statement in this purport that too much attachment to any of the senses not only sets results in sinful activities. So, Prabhupada describes the lifespan of a human being, how it is being spent. The first 10 years you are just bewildered in childhood. You don't know what's happening, you're just spending, you're dependent totally on the children. Then boyhood is spent in sports and recreation and all that. 20 years gone. Then the last 20 years of your life and you're old, you're invalid, you're practically not able to do your basic activities also. So a clear warning is given as to how the 100 years lifetime of a person, and this section of the purport Prabhupada explains that between up to the age of 30 a person is busy enjoying his senses, where his body is powerful, the strength and vigor and energy is there, he is going on enjoying. But he forgets the passage of time. And that's when time and again the instructions given by the spiritual master through the purports and through the verbal instructions and by his own personal example brings out that the purpose of human life is not to enjoy but to focus on self-realization. This the spiritual master expertly does by inducing a person, even though he is in the mode of passion or ignorance, he elevates that person by engaging him in activities that induce what is called as the spiritual attachment. That's where I found this particular line to be very encouraging, that Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner, which I think applies to me, started off pretty much late 30s. And I was not born in a family where all the reformatory process was done. A late beginner can become a lover of God by following the regulative principles of devotional service. So the spiritual master expertly engages the disciple in spiritual activities that it removes the mode of passion and ignorance and invokes the spiritual attachment in the heart of a person who was formerly covered by the mode of passion and ignorance. In the section, in the third chapter of the Gita, where the three gates to hell is described, not only the dangers are explained there, that how lust and greed are the three gateways to hell, living is forced to act even though he doesn't want to. In that section Prabhupada explains about how by under the expert guidance of the spiritual teacher, the spiritual attachment is invoked in the heart of the disciple. The propensity of lust and anger can also be purified, and this process is done in an enjoyable way. That's why it's called as susukam. So you're not grudgingly doing the bhakti process, but you are actually given various engagements where your passion, and instead of degrading to anger and downgrading to ignorance, it is brought up and then it is elevated to the mode of goodness, and then pure goodness through various spiritual engagements, and by that the knot in the heart is loosened. That knot which is acquired by uniting the male or female. So we a lot of time we hear that today Tanti Mahu in the Rishabhadev's teachings. So right next to that was the a method of loosening the knot in the heart is also described. This is from 5.5.9. When by associating with sadhus and engaging in devotional service, one is gradually freed from the material conception, which is the verse which talks about the heart knot. So three points are described. The knot is slackened through knowledge. First, this knowledge that you don't have to be stuck thinking that I did not go through the reformatory process and I was not born in a elevated family. So the knowledge is given that and the encouragement is given and the opportunity is given. And then you are encouraged to put that into practice, which is the second step. So you get the knowledge, you put that into practice, and by that you develop detachment. So by these three things, knowledge, practice and detachment, the knot in the heart is slackened. The previous verse which talked about Princess Kriya Maitami Bhava. So the heart knot, which is formed by the union of the male and the female, that gets slackened by the association with the sadhus, by taking up the devotional practice and detachment. Thus one gets free from the conditional life and becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead. So we saw how a regulated sense enjoyment is also dangerous and one has to get out of it. And that's why in this Bhagavad Prabhupada talks about the other ashramas as well. He gives a time frame after which you can beget children. After 50, one should not beget children and plan for Vanaprastha. Just as those who are entering the Vanaprastha ashram, they should, as they enter, they Prabhupada is also making a point that they should also have an exit plan as to how they are going to exit to Vanaprastha ashram. And later on in this purport also Prabhupada tells that there is also a sannyas ashram where one dedicates his body, mind and words, which is represented by the three danda that sannyasis carry, that I am dedicating my body, mind and words in the service of the Lord. So the spiritual master is expert enough to give a nice pathway for a disciple that these are the potential dangers, this is the exit plan for you, this is how you must be able to regulate yourself and get out of the family attachment, and in the Vanaprastha stage this is what you are meant to do. So he continues to guide, and then when a person wants to take sannyas ashram, he is encouraged to do so, provided he can restrain his desire for sense gratification. I was recently watching His Holiness Krishna Chaitanya Swami's sannyas ceremony, where he was describing that when he was doing the Abhishek of the Panchatattva in Mayapur, one of his fellow godfathers asked him for friendly, he was just trying to tell him that why don't you take up the denounced order. So Maharaj also felt that it is the right time for him, and as you know, for taking sannyas you need to take sannyas mantra from another sannyas. He was been practicing the sannyas order for many years, so naturally, Krishna Chaitanya Swami was inclined towards Satchananda Swami to take this sannyas from him. So the arrangement was made, and unfortunately, Satchananda Maharaj felt so sick that he could not make it for the event. So it came to a point where Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu was thinking that should I go ahead with this, or this is an indication that I should not. But Satchananda Maharaj encouraged him by saying that any major step in your spiritual life will always be, you will face a lot of opposition or obstacles in it. You just need to go ahead with it, not to give in and stop. So the stopgap arrangement was Sisodian Chandramani Swami agreed to give sannyas on behalf of Satchananda Maharaj, and through a web meeting, Satchananda Maharaj did address the sannyas initiation. So, when I think that, okay, I've decided to dedicate everything to the Lord, then everything will be favorable for me, no? On contrast, there will be obstacles, even when you want to dedicate your entire life in this service. And again, the crucial point of accepting another God-brother, approaching them with humility and asking them to give the sannyas mantra and accepting the whole process. And after that, you travel fearlessly and go out and preach. So, in every stage, the guidance of the Vaishnavas and Guru is crucial. Whether you are in Namasari Ashram or Vrista Ashram, you are exiting to Vanaprastha Ashram and taking on sannyas. In every stage, the guidance of senior Vaishnavas and Guru is crucial. And as we saw that the process actually elevates a person who could be born in a Varnashankara background. It elevates him so much that he is able to progress through the different ashrams, and then he is able to even take up the renounced order of life. And Prabhupada has proven through his potency of initiating disciples, giving them sannyas and guiding them through the purports and the process that he put forward, that if we follow this, it works. It elevates a person born in a swapachara or any background. It elevates him to a person who is able to take up this holy name and take up the renounced order also and go out and travel and preach and propagate. This will give us confidence that if I take up the shelter of the spiritual master, I am in safe hands, and this process works. We work the process. We'll conclude here and see if there are any questions on what we discussed. How to increase the faith in the words of the spiritual master and the process of how to sustain the faith.
Yeah.
By our own personal reflection, this is a good means that how in the past I was not so elevated spiritually, but taking a crucial step, I'm able to transform myself Now will Krishna and Guru not help me in the future also if I put that extra faith and continue the process? So what worked in the past and what is working in the present will also work in the future. It won't stop working provided I stick to the process. So that is by our own personal reflection. And second is by looking at the life of our spiritual master. And so today themselves are becoming empowered because they are having implicit faith in their spiritual master's words. So if they are able to do it, and they are like a living example, so it's not just a theoretical concept. So it's working, it has worked for me, it's working for me now, it's working for others, and they are also progressing in that path. So in the future also it will work for me. So that's how I would go. Anyone wants to add to that, increase the pace. So.
Prabhupada says that the process of Krishna consciousness is scientific. He says, in the sense that if you're in a laboratory and you add chemical A or chemical B and apply a certain amount of heat, say for example, you get a particular result, and that result will be repeated. So, by following the order of the spiritual master, it's described that if one has faith in the orders of the spiritual master and the orders of Krishna, in the faith of the scripture, then automatically the understanding of spiritual knowledge, of spiritual practice is revealed. So, if we follow the order of the spiritual master and we experience the results, the benefits of doing that, even though there may be challenges, and there will be, then by the execution of the order and by enjoying the results of following the order of the spiritual master, one's faith will be increased. So, it's a dynamic process in that we have to fully absorb ourselves in the instructions of the spiritual master and then follow those instructions. And by following those instructions, the process, and Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, desham satati yuktana, for those who are constantly engaged in devotional service, then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So, by following the process, by engaging in the positives, avoiding the negatives, then we'll get the fruit of our actions. We become Krishna conscious.
I mean, for a devotee, like taking the case of Harinam and Prabhu, like he's going out and giving, it is also crucial that we also find time to recharge our batteries. In a sense, we spend quality time with equals or seniors, where we also get nourished. That also is a way of sustaining the faith. And discuss the shortcomings that you face. And if you have mentors who you can discuss openly, and where you are in an environment where you don't be judged, because you're going out, it's like a battle, so you will get some wounds. One has to admit that he is hurt, or and not to carry on that too long that it affects you. You heal by the process of hearing, reading, and association. You also take that time to do that. So that will as well increase your momentum to go forward. That's why there is, listening to lectures, there is a specific, even though in the renounced order there is a sannyas sangha, then there is sangha for the gṛhastha, there is a sangha for the brahmacharya, where you go out for retreats, so that time of getting together and discussing shortcomings without being judged by others, and getting help from peers and equals and superiors also helps to sustain that. And that I feel is very crucial for you to go on in the long run. So you probably have a set time in your schedule, but I think if you go for the holy dham, that's when you get such chance. And you go out, distribute holy name, and you come back. So I hope that helps. Anything else? Yes,
comment on this one. A couple of days ago, I was giving an example to Toby. Took on Padma. Now, Rama was such a little enemy. He was unlikely he would be successful. Prabhupada is the example of one who surrendered no matter what happened, and he lost his life. Of course, in our case, we have to do what we can to preserve our life and spiritual life. But there's always some risk in life, there can be some risks. But that should be handled by good intelligence and good advice from others.
Yeah, Grandpa, 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 Gr